Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. I want to go toward the middle, latter part of this chapter and preach a message. I love to preach this message. You just need to pray God helps me to preach it. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, oftentimes called the Hall of Faith. It records men and women of God in the Old Testament that believed God. God used them in amazing ways. In fact, we find out in verse number 6 of Hebrews 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You just cannot please God without faith. Now, how many of you here tonight believe that you're saved by faith? We know that's the Bible. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So everybody, if you're born again by the grace of God here tonight, everybody knows you're saved by faith. But what many times we miss as a child of God is that God calls us not only to be saved by faith, but He calls us as His children to live by faith. So tonight, with the help of God, I want to preach. I'm going to read my text here in a moment, but I want to preach on the power of faith. Go over to chapter number, let's see, let's begin in verse 24. Chapter 11, verse 24. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why did he do that? Because he had faith. Because he had faith. Faith, Bible faith, will cause you to choose right things. It'll cause you to turn from wrong things. That's what Bible faith does. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. For as he say, why in the world would he choose to suffer affliction than enjoy pleasure? Because he had faith. He had faith. By the way, now you know why it's impossible to please God without it. He says, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he knew some good things were coming if he just trusted God. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. He couldn't see it, but he could see it. Hey, that's why the old saints of God shouted when they heard the old songs of Zion. They couldn't see it, but they could see it. They couldn't see heaven, but they could see heaven. They couldn't see Christ, but they could see Christ. They couldn't see grace, but they could see grace. Because by faith, you can see what God says in His Word. He says, by faith they passed, by faith he forsook Egypt, 27, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured to see him who was invisible, verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, verse 30, now we're shifting to a different story. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days, verse 31, and I'm done. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. I want to preach tonight just a few minutes on the power of faith. What difference does faith make in a life? Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you and praise you for the privilege to be here in this precious place, your house with your people. God, to open your word, be filled with your spirit. God, to preach under the power of the Spirit of God. But God, we need your help tonight. God, we need your help. Speak to hearts. God, we need a generation that rises one more time upon the foundation of faith, God. And just believes you. Father, help us. Speak to us. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. The fallout or the power of faith. I preached this message once as the fallout of faith, or really the impact of your faith. And say, why'd you change the title? Because my kids hear it two or three times, so I don't want them to think I'm preaching something different. Of course, Abigail will know the difference because she takes notes on all my sermons, so she'll know if I preach something different. I'm like, if I've got a sermon and I don't have notes for it. And I'm like, oh man, I preached that one about 6 months ago. Abby, you got it? She's like, yeah, here. And she'll give me the outline. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. Hey, kid, Johnny, take notes. Preacher may need his outline again someday. Amen. If he don't have it. But tonight I want to deal with faith, and I want to deal with this quickly. I know you've had a good meeting, a great meeting. I love Brother Steele. He's one of my heroes, and I love being here Monday night and hearing him. But I was laughing. I was thinking, I'm coming in on Wednesday night, and I'm like, I can't move quite like that. I'm not built with that kind of
mobility.
Amen. But I love to preach, and I love to hear him preach. He is a preaching machine. He is a man with the touch of God on his life, and I love him. And by the way, I learned a long time ago, child of God, if you love God, you're going to love everybody. You're going to love the sinner, but you're especially going to love the brethren. It don't matter who they are or where they're from. Great pastor, members of our church. Well, it is members of our church. I'm just not the pastor anymore. Amen. But with us, very, very, very sweet friends of ours. In fact, their son, they got, how many kids? Three boys, is that right? Three boys, and their youngest son's best friends with my boys, and I always called him my brown boy. Amen. He spent a lot of time with my boys at work, and we'd have a great time. He was my son. I mean, I said, I'm your white daddy, and that's your brown daddy. Amen. And, but hey, God taught me to love people. You know, and I gotta stop because I'm going somewhere and I gotta get back to where I'm going. My wife's like, stay on focus. Amen. For too long, we've said there's a God of the brown man and there's a God of the white man and there's a God of the black man. I got some news for you, Pedro. There ain't no teaching like that in the Bible. None. Did you know this? Jesus was a brown man. And if he acted like most of the white people I know a long time ago, not so much today as it used to be, he wouldn't have let them come to his church. Because he was a Middle Eastern Jew with black hair, brown eyes, and dark skin. And he'd have looked at us Anglo-Europeans and said, oh, you want to know about Jesus? You go on over and find your own church. But that ain't the gospel, friend. Jesus said, God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves the world. Amen. He don't care who you are, where you're from. He don't care your language. He don't care about your skin color. Jesus died for the world. Amen. And when the church gets back a hold of that, I believe God's going to do some things. Hallelujah. Amen. Like Aaron Barker says, hallelujah to Jesus right there. Amen. Hallelujah. But I got to get going here. That was extra. See, was that part of the message? No, that's a little extra. Amen. But the key is faith. Where we drop the ball is no longer do we live by faith. You say, what do you mean I'm living by faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, I believe down around verse 17. You say, what does that have to do with Price Corn in Texas? If you're not living according to the Word and you claim to have faith, you ain't got it. Because faith is direct obedience to the Word of God. You cannot have Bible faith apart from the Word of God. Don't exist. Now you can have faith in other things, but you can't have faith in God apart from His Word. I'm anointing your pulpit. Sorry, brother. Amen. I'll clean that up later. Clear pulpit. Did any of y'all see that? Good. Nobody saw it. Amen. But I want to deal tonight. The first part of the message, I'm going to go back to Moses and I'm going to go back to Rahab at the very end of the message. I read that to go to the end. I want to deal tonight with what is faith. Because so often I'm afraid we don't understand what faith is, and that's what messes us up. Because we think faith is knowledge. We think, well, I know the truth. I have faith in God. Faith is not what you know. Though faith flows from what you know, faith is not what you know. You say, well, I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe lived a sinless life and died a sinless death and took my sins on the cross. I believe He died. I believe He rose from the dead. I believe He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, I am saved. Not if you don't have faith. You say, but I believe all of that. Faith is not about what you know. It's not about what you know. Not about what you know. That's why our church, and I told our church for 18 years, I said, I ain't going to preach to you anything you probably hadn't ever heard before. I said, the issue in the average church is not you need to hear something new. The issue is you need to do something with the truth you've been told already. You see, if we simply started living, and in this neck of the woods, we've got generation after generation after generation of great men of God who have taught us and poured their life and their heart into ministries and preached the Word of God, and we've heard truth after truth, and we come in and hear it again and again and again, and nothing happens, and the world gets worse and worse and worse, and we scratch our head and say, why? Because we don't have faith. We know it, but we don't have faith. Let me explain to you what faith is tonight real quick, just a little bit, and I'm going to give you some principles of faith. We'll deal with Moses and Rahab, and we'll be done. I'm looking for... Oh, there's one. All right, this could be dangerous. So that's a little wooden slapback chair. I promise I'll put it back, and I won't break it, I don't think. Amen. I was looking for a chair. I was hoping for a little bigger one or a sturdier one, but this one will do. Amen. Everybody knows what this is, right? Y'all know what this is? All right. Now, I oftentimes have to say this because as preachers, we're known to trick people, you know, and to give an answer, and no. There's no trick questions is what I'm asking you, okay? No trick questions. So don't say, I'm not saying anything. I'm not going to make fun of nobody. There's no trick questions. What is this? All right. How many of you believe it? Can I see it? But uplifted hand all over the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. What is it for? How many of y'all believe it's the sitting? So far, we're together. You know what it is, and you know what it's for. I got another question. Do you believe that this chair is sufficient for me? How many of y'all believe this chair is sufficient for me? Amen. Hallelujah. So if it breaks, you're all wrong. Amen. I just want to go on record. Everybody raise their hand. So, hallelujah. So we know what it is. We know what it's for. And we believe that it is sufficient to do what it's designed to do. But I got a question. I believe everything you said. I believe it with all my heart. I really, really, really do. I believe it's a chair. I can see it's a chair. I believe it's to be set in. I can see it's designed to be set in. I believe by the structure of it. And I saw a brother sitting in the window. But I've seen it work before. So I really do believe that it'll do what it was designed to do. But I got a question for you tonight. I believe all that. But do I have faith in the chair? Do I have faith? Now it's getting tricky. Now it's getting tricky. Do I have faith in the chair? Now I know about it. I even believe about it. I even have confidence that it is, will do, and everything you've told me. I believe you're telling the truth. But have I put my faith in the chair? But I believe it. But I believe it. Now you're telling me I really haven't put my faith in that. But I'm telling you, I believe it. I stand up and tell everybody in the church, I believe it. And yet you keep looking at me as if, but you still haven't put your faith in it. Well, all right, I'll show you a little bit. Do I have faith in it now? No, I am checking it out. It's pretty sturdy, but my faith ain't in the chair yet. Say, well, how do you know that? It's easy to prove. All my weight is where? It's on me. I believe everything about the chair, and I'll even put my hand on the chair and claim it. But all of my trust and all of my confidence is in me. Is my faith in the chair now? I am getting a little closer. But I still ain't put my faith in that chair because, to really be honest with you, it looks like I'm getting closer, but I'm going to tell you something. It ain't no different than this. Because all my weight was on 2 feet. All the difference is now all the weight's on 1 foot. but I'm still trusting me, because if you take that chair out, I'm fine. You know what it takes for me to put faith in this chair? For me to trust it completely without reservation to do what you said it would do. You say, "Preacher, well, I believe the Bible." But do you have faith in the Bible? You say, "I believe in Jesus. I believe in the promises Brother Steele was preaching about on Monday night. And all what promises God gives me." I'm glad you believe in the promises. But faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It is the promises of God that is our foundation. But if we don't have faith in those promises, it will do us no good. So I want to ask you tonight, how many of you really, honestly, truly, I'm not asking for a raise of hands here because I ain't going to raise mine. We're going to answer this one in the inside of our heart. How many of you are really, really, really living by faith? In other words, you believe what God said, period, and you're trusting it completely. You're not trying to reason it out. You're not trying to justify it out. You believe exactly what God said, and you do what God says to do. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm trying." You don't try on faith. You just believe. Can you imagine Moses in our story going up to Pharaoh and saying, Hey, Pharaoh, Papa, adopted daddy. He said, "Man, it's been great living in your house. But I really think I sort of like what those Jews, God, my God's talking about. And I really think he's got some good points. So do you mind if I spend the Sabbath over there and I'll come live over here with you the rest of the time? But I really, really, really want to try that out." You know, Pharaoh said, No, you choosing, son. You either my son in Pharaoh's house and you worship my God, you wear my clothes, you do my thing, or you're going to be with the Jews. You see, the issue is faith. The issue is not only what you know, but what you're willing to commit your life to. Let me give you some principles real quick, and we're going to fly through this thing. Let me give you some principles about faith. Number one, faith is an act of the will in response to the authority and truth of God's Word. Faith is an act of the will in response to the truth of the Word of God. That's why the Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." When you study the Bible, you find out the heart, as referred to in Scripture, it's not that beating muscle, but it is the seat of your will and your emotion. That's why you told your wife, "Sir, when you fell in love with her, you said, 'I love you with all my kidneys.'" That's what y'all said, right? I would say you said, "I love you with all my brain," but none of you would have said that. Amen. Because she'd have laughed and said, "You don't love me at all then." You said, "I love you with all my heart." You know where that whole concept of the heart came from? You weren't talking about your beating mechanism with all the blood. Boom, boom, boom. She knew what you meant. She knew you meant, "I love you with all my will, my emotion, my feelings, my mind. Everything about me, I love you with it." Does that make sense? Everybody with me? You said, "I love you with all my heart." Now let's take that to Romans 10. "For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness." Salvation is not a head issue. Those faith cometh by hearing, and it comes into the head, the truth of the Word of God. But salvation is an issue of the heart, not the head. It's an issue of the will. Salvation comes when you realize you're lost and you're a sinner, but your will submits to that truth and submits to the reality that it's only by faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that you can ever be saved. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Well, why does he not stop there? He said, "With the mouth confession is made to salvation." Why is that true? Because when you said, "I love you with all my heart," she wanted you to prove it by saying, "I love you." Because you said, "You have all my heart," and never said a word to her, never said, "I love you," never said, "I cared about you," she'd have said, "No, you don't." But faith is a heart issue in response to the truth of the Word of God. That's why you need to be in your Bible every day. Your faith will never grow until your knowledge of Scripture increases. Prove it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So faith is an issue of the heart, an issue of the will, in response to the truth of the Word of God. But let me give you some principles about that reality. Principles of faith. Three things, and I'm going to get on down to Moses and Rahab. Three things about faith you need to remember, mark down, write them down if you take notes. Number one, faith is personal. We understand what faith is. Faith is submission of the will of the truth of the Word of God. But principles of faith, number one, faith is personal. In other words, you can't borrow somebody else's faith. It is up to you to believe God. My mom and dad are here tonight, been in church all my life. I've watched them serve God, love God, and try to honor God with their life. But their faith is not my faith. I've got 7 children. We've tried to raise them to love God and serve God. But my faith is not their faith. Their faith must be their own. Faith is personal. You can't borrow from somebody else. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. Faith is personal. You and God. You and God. Number one. Number two. Let me give you this quickly. Number two. Faith is not only personal, but faith is visible. Faith is visible. We're in a generation that loves to talk about faith that you can't see. Oh, I believe God, but their life don't show it. I believe God, but there's no evidence of faith in their life. Other than they say, I love Jesus and I have faith. But I want to tell you a fact. You read your Bible. If you find contrary, please call me because I'd love to find it. I never have. Anywhere you find faith in the Bible, it's visible. Maniac of Gadara got saved by the grace of God. How do you know? He's sitting clothed in his right mind. Noah had faith. He's in Hebrews chapter 11. How do you know? How do you and I know Noah had faith? How do you know? How do you know Noah had faith? Not a trick question. It's real simple. How do you know? I mean, the Bible said Noah believed God, counted for him righteous. But how do you and I know he had faith? He built the ark. Do you realize it's going to be hard to prove in Scripture that Noah believed God if God told him to build the ark and he didn't? Number one, we ain't got the Bible because he died in the flood. In fact, we're starting all over again. Ain't nobody left. But without the ark, there's absolutely no evidence of Noah's faith. Enoch believed God. God took him. Why? Because it was said of Enoch that he walked with God. What do you mean he walked with God? It wasn't invisible. People saw how Enoch lived his life. They watched how he lived. They knew he was a God. When Enoch disappeared, they're like, I know where he's at. I mean, how did you know? Because his life, his faith was visible. You believe Moses believed God, had faith? I believe Moses had faith. How do you know? Look at his life. Look at it. Abraham, in this story, Abram believed God. Abram had faith. How do you know? It changed his life. He was at home. He was at comfort. He lived in Wilkes County. He lived right 15 minutes. And God said, go to a foreign land. And he said, all right, God, let's go. Number one, faith is personal. It's only you and God. But number two, biblical faith is always visible. Always. It will show itself. Though it is an act of the will, it always reveals itself in your life. Always. You can't be born. Have you ever seen a baby born and nobody knew it? I had. We had 7. Ain't none of them came in by, oh, wow, what's that? You knew it. Say, well, I ain't got nothing. It's got everything. Tell me there's been a newborn child of God and nobody knows it. It changes you. When you're saved by the grace of God, faith is visible. I've got to keep moving. Number one, faith is personal. Two, faith is visible. But number three, faith is powerful. Jesus said, if you had faith as great as a mustard seed, you could do what? Move the mountains. Say, be cast into the sea. Faith is powerful. It was by faith that Noah trusted God and built the ark. It was by faith that Abram left the land that he called home and went to a country God said he wanted him to go to. It was by faith that Moses rejected the riches of the palace of Pharaoh's house and became a slave. And then became the leader of over 2 million people. say, "Preacher, I wish, sure wish God would do something powerful in my life," then start living by faith. Faith is where the power of God is. Not faith and faith. Well, I believe in faith. It don't matter what you believe about faith. Believe the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God has power. Faith is the fuse in our life that ignites the power of the Word of God. Faith and faith will do you no good, but faith in the principles and the truths of the Word of God will change your life.
Amen.
So the three principles of faith, and we're going to look at our illustrations tonight. It's personal, it's visible, and it's powerful. I just wrote at the bottom of the page, faith is the fuse that ignites the powder keg of God's promises. Here's the key about faith. And I just wrote a little article on our website, I guess it was yesterday, I believe, about the domino effect and how that every life touches another life. I'm going to Utah because my son surrendered to go to Utah. That's why I'm going. You say, "But God called you." I know God called me there, but I never make a trip in March to go to Utah if my son doesn't obey the Spirit of God and consent and humble himself and say, "I'm going to Utah," by himself with nobody. He's a young man, 20 years old, but he surrenders to go to a foreign land, if you will. But because he surrendered, God took me there. I didn't know God wanted me to go there. But because of the faith of my son, God brought his own father to that land. And God told me, "I want you to come an hour and a half away, but to go into the same area and the same region and preach the gospel." But his faith touched my life. His faith touched my life. And by the way, if he was here tonight, he could tell you about men of God throughout his life that had touched his life and encouraged him to trust God. And he's seen men. He's seen their faith. And their faith encouraged him to have faith. And now that he has faith, he encourages my faith. And I'm praying that my faith will encourage others to have faith and trust God. No man lives in a vacuum. You say, "My life ain't going to touch nobody." You would be shocked at the lives you're touching now. Say, "But I'm nobody." I've seen figures. I ain't even going to guess at a number, but it's in the high numbers of the lives you will touch in your lifetime. Yeah. So I live in Ronder. You'd be amazed at how many people you're going to touch from Ronder.
You're right.
Hey, I was just born 5 miles down the road, west end of Elkin. I ain't no different than you. Don't look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. "Well, God's doing something in your life." I'm from 5 miles down the road. I am your neighbor. That's where I was born and raised. In fact, I don't live but about 7 miles up the road that way in Clingman now. But when you start living by faith, it changes everything. It literally changes everything. God's taken me all over Central America, part South America, up into Canada. I went to some foreign country out west here a few years ago. I think they call it California. Amen. That's a different world out there. I never dreamed I'd be going to Utah, but God said, "It's time to go, son. Here it is." So I'm going. Why? God said to. No other reason. I loved my church, and I still do. They're my sending church. I love my people. I love having my family here tonight. I love my people. I love my front rows full of young men surrendered to preach or praying about what God wanted them to do. Man, that thrilled my soul. But you see, it's not about my comfort zone. It's about what God wants. And so when God said, "Utah now," I had to say, "Yes, sir." Why? Because I'm just trusting Him. If He don't know what's going on, I know I sure don't. But it's about faith. And your life is going to touch somebody else. Your life's going to touch somebody else. There's a young man named Samuel preaching in the mountains of Honduras right now because God took me down there to preach in an old-fashioned Baptist church outside of Honduras or outside of San Pedro Sula. I don't know, probably 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Samuel was a young man about 17 or 18 years old, and I preached from John chapter 6, I believe it is, on the Lord, the lad, and the lunch. That night, a number of young people came forward and made decisions for Christ, but Samuel came forward that Friday night or whatever it was of that meeting and surrendered his life to preach the gospel. You know where he's at now? In the mountains, building churches. He's already started two or three. He's got a little radio ministry out there near Santa Guerra. It's say, preacher, I can't do nothing. It's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do through you. But you'll never find that till you learn how to live by faith. You say, what is the power of faith? And I'm going to hit Moses fast because I want to get down to Rahab. Because Moses, a man who should never have been born, but because of the grace and mercy of God, a mama and a daddy who believed God, amen, and impacted his life. You say, why did Moses end up believing God? Maybe somebody told him the story when he got to be a young man, how mama believed God and how daddy believed God. They didn't throw him in the river to be eaten by the alligators, but they hid him and they took care of him and they loved him. And by faith, they made a little ark out of bulrushes and put him in the river and prayed, oh God, deliver our son. And it wasn't long before Pharaoh's daughter comes by and takes him up and hears the baby crying, has compassion. And because of the faith of mom and daddy, Moses gets to be raised in the nicest house in town. Amen. And then when Moses comes of years, he's got to make some decisions. Am I going to enjoy all the blessings that Providence has bestowed upon me? Or am I going to honor the God that spared my life that my mom and daddy believed? Moses chose to identify with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And because of that, God allowed him to deliver a country. A country. Say, preacher, my faith will make no difference. Friend, faith can deliver America. Did you hear me? One man of faith. One man of faith who believes God and trusts God and obeys God and is filled with the power of God can change America. But he's got to have faith. Not a head knowledge, but a heart submission to the will of God and the way of God and the work of God. It can change a nation. It did Israel. Because Moses believed God. One simple man. By the way, that man thought he was something when he was younger until God took him on the backside of the mountain, let him stay 40 years and tend his father-in-law's sheep. Then when he realized he was nothing, God said, now it's time to use you. If you think faith is going to puff you up, let me let some air out of your balloon. Faith will never puff you up. And by the way, faith will never make you easily offended. If you get puffed up and snuffed up about everything, you ain't living by faith, friend. Because Jesus is bigger than your puff. God looks for humble men and humble women that He can work through. But Moses delivered a nation. I'm going to give you this and I'm done. I'm putting down the landing gear and we're getting ready to de-throttle. Because some of y'all have been throttled up all week. So here we come in for a landing. Faith is personal. Faith is visible. Faith is powerful. Faith is an act of the will, which is the heart, in submission to the truth of the Word of God. By faith, Moses delivered a nation. But the one I wanted to get to, and I could have dealt with all these characters throughout Hebrews 11, but I want to deal with one tonight. The person Rahab. The Bible says down in verse number 31, by faith, the what? By faith, the who? The harlot. I don't need to describe what that is, do you, do I? Y'all know a harlot ain't a good woman, right? Y'all know a harlot's a bad woman. You wouldn't call her a lady in any uncertain terms. She was a bad woman. But the Bible says, that by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with him that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Turn back to Joshua chapter 6 and I'm done here. Joshua chapter 6. You say, but preacher, you don't know who I am, where I've been, what's going on in my life. It does not matter what your past has been. What matters is what your future can be. You say, what could ever change my life? The same thing that changed Rahab's life. It is called faith. Faith changes a life. Not only does it change a life, it changes the way of living, and it changes your future. The Bible says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. I find it very interesting, even in the New Testament, it's still referring to as the harlot Rahab. By the way, if you're saved by the grace of God and people still know you from your past, that's okay as long as they know what God's done in your life now. As long as they know that's your past. As long as they know it's your past. What changed everything? Faith. Faith. By faith, Rahab. What changed? Well, let's look at the story in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter number 6, the Bible says this. Joshua sent the spies to come into the land, and I'm not going to read all of it. God's told them how to bring the walls down to the city. Joshua, he sends them out to spy, and when they go and spy out the land, I think that's back in chapter number 2, they meet Rahab because the king of the city of Jericho, or the leader, he finds out they're there, and she has to hide them. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 2. She said to the men, I know the Lord has given you the land. She said, and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, what you did in the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. In other words, she said, I've heard the word. Can I say it that way? She had heard the word. Say, what do you mean she'd heard the word? She had heard what God had done. She had heard what God was going to do. You say, what is that? That's called the Bible. The Bible is what God has done and what God is going to do. It's called the Word of God. And so Rahab tells those spies, I have heard the Word of God. Somebody has told me about your God. And they've told me that your God has given you our land and you're going to destroy it. Make a long story short, because I ain't going to go all through chapter 2. But she said, would you remember me? She said, I've spared your life. I hid you under the stalks of flax. She said, would you spare my life? Those two spies look at her back in chapter 2 and they said, our life for yours. Said, you hang this scarlet thread in the window. By the way, she lived on the wall. Said, you hang this out, this cord, the scarlet cord, out your window. And said, if it's hanging there when we take the city, said, your life for ours. We'll spare you. Now, wow, that's a message. They told her about the chair, they told her it was good to sit in, and they told her it would work. The question is, would she have faith? They gave her the thread, they told her what it would do, they guaranteed by their life that it was sufficient to save her life. The only thing that was missing was faith. Would she believe what she had heard? When you come to Joshua chapter 6, they're marching around the walls of Jericho. By the way, they said, anybody who is in your house will be saved too. So not only was that chair good enough for Rahab, anybody she wanted to bring in with her, it would save them too. Aren't you glad we have a salvation that not only changes our life, but it will change anybody's life who will believe?
You're right.
Amen. You say, but preacher, it ain't happening like it used to happen. Well, maybe that's because we just don't have faith. But preacher, it's hard. It's hard to witness. People are cynical. They're cold. They're indifferent to the Word of God. Hey, I guarantee you, Rahab would switch places with you. I promise you, Rahab would switch places with you. I promise you, she'd rather witness knock door to door in Ronda, North Carolina, than she had in the city of Jericho. Because Jericho had no Baptist churches, and Jericho had no Baptist preachers, and Jericho had no Christians living in it. She was the only one who had the message of salvation. The only one who had the message that under the scarlet thread, in other words, the type of the blood of Christ, that anybody could be saved. She was the only one, and by the way, she was known as the harlot. Preacher, I've had a bad past. People see me coming. How'd you like to be known as the harlot and you the only one who's got the gospel? Well, that's who Rahab was. Because God called her the harlot in the Bible. But God also said she's the only one that got the message. So the question is, does Rahab have faith? Two things you're going to find out. Would you hang the scarlet thread and would you tell anybody? Got a question for you tonight. Number one, are you hanging the scarlet thread? So what do you mean, preacher? Are you going to trust Christ as your Savior? Say, I already have. Good. Then question number two, who's in the house with you? Who's in the house with you? But I can't change places with Rahab. She was the harlot. And she couldn't say, preacher, will you go tell them? I love them, but I just can't tell them. She had no preacher.
She can't say, oh, deacons or sons, because oh, would you go witness my family and her friends? Because I don't want them to die and go to hell, but I can't tell them. She had no teacher, and she had no deacons. If anybody heard the gospel, she had to tell them. But the only way she would do that is if she truly had faith. Things ain't going to happen until we really, really have faith. Here's my conclusion. What happened with Rahab? What happened? Well, I'm going to give you a heads up. If you go to Matthew, I believe chapter 1, chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. And you're looking at the lineage of Jesus Christ. You know who's there? A woman. Two of them by name. One is Ruth the Moabitess. How'd she get in there? She's a Moabitess. Same way the other woman got in there. Who's the other woman? Rahab. Rahab is in the line of Christ. Rahab the harlot? That's her. In other words, we know based on the Bible that she believed. She had faith in the gospel. In other words, in the salvation that was provided by that scarlet line. But here's the question. What would she do with it? Because I don't know about y'all, you know, we live in a new day. When I pastored on the mountain, I mean, we had people from everywhere. I mean, of course, Tomas and Julie live in Texas and have family down in Mexico. We had people from Michigan. We had people from Florida. We had people from Arizona. We had some from Chicago. We had a family from New Jersey. I mean, we had people from everywhere. But can I tell you, 100 years ago, it wasn't that way. The people who made up a city was pretty much family. Does everybody understand that? Everybody with me? Everybody getting the picture I'm trying to paint here? And 500 years ago, it'd even been more family. And 1,000 years ago, it'd even been more family. What are you saying? I'm saying Rahab had a lot of kinfolks in that city. She had a lot of aunts and uncles and cousins and brothers and nephews and nieces. Say, what's that got to do with anything? Go to chapter 6 and I'll tell you what it has to do with it. The Bible says they're taking the city, and Joshua has told the two spies, he said, you go get Rahab and bring her out. You say, why did he tell them to go get Rahab? Because she lived on the city wall. That's how she let the spies out. And every day they marched around. And you know what they saw? They saw the scarlet line. Hey, they knew Rahab had faith. They knew Rahab was believing. They knew Rahab had accepted by faith the gospel. But you know what they didn't know? They didn't know what would be the impact of the fallout of her faith. Was she sitting up there in a corner of the room, sort of hiding behind the curtain or under the bed, said, oh, I'm sure I'm glad I got it. I wish somebody else had. Or what was her house going to look like? Go with me down, if you will, to verse number 23. Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, I'm in verse number 22 of chapter 6, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto. And others go do what you said, boys. Verse 23, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, period. Is that what it says? What's that punctuation? Everybody got a comma in their Bible? You may be like me, you may have to put on glasses to see it, but that is a comma. Brought out Rahab, and it's a comma, so they're not through bringing them out. The Bible said, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and what's the next word? And all that she had, and they brought out what's the next word? All her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. Can I tell you something? One of the most beautiful scenes in all the world is when you and I wish God would allow us to see it now, but I know in glory we will, is the true impact of our faith in this life. Because no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. God, if He's given you faith to believe, then it is your and our responsibility to tell everybody we know about Jesus Christ. Yes. Your responsibility. When these two spies walk up to Rahab's door, and I don't know if it's a hard door, if it's a curtain door, but we'll say it was a hard one, and they walk up and they knock. Wasn't hard to find, it's the only door left on the wall. And they climb up that rubble and they get to the door and they knock on it, and they're like, Rahab, you in there? I think they heard a little bit of a, yeah, I'm here. Say, why do you think she was saying it like that? Because the Bible said she came out. Well, why would she be crying if she came out?
because she didn't come out alone. The Bible said she walked out of the door. And it don't say it was this way, but I believe it was. She reached back and took the hand of Daddy and brought him out the door with her. Why? Because she had shared her faith with her daddy. And her daddy had faith in God. And so God saved her daddy. And here she is. And Daddy God, him too. Hallelujah. And Daddy reaches back and grabs Mama's hand and brings her out the door. And they're all snotting and wiping tears because there's death and destruction everywhere. But they're alive. Hey, they're alive. But it don't stop there. The Bible said that word all twice. All her kindred and all her family. I mean, can you imagine? Sometimes we imagine Rahab, Mom and Daddy, and a few kids coming out. The Bible said all her kindred and all that she had. I don't know how big her house was, but I guarantee you it's full on that day. I guarantee you it was a packed house in Rahab's house.
Amen.
Why? Because she had faith. You know why we don't see a packed house anymore? Anywhere? Just don't have faith. Because I promise you, if you believed every meth head and dope head and drunkard, and Ron was dying and going to hell, and every self-righteous good person was going to hell, and you really, really believed it with all your heart, and you laid down at night and looked up at the ceiling and you could hear them saying, don't let me die. Don't let me die without Christ. Don't let me die without Him. I have a feeling you'd be doing everything you could to pack the house out. But why don't we? We just don't have enough faith. Because if we see, Rahab believed it was coming. Rahab heard about judgment coming, but she believed it. She believed the walls were going to fall. You say, I see the signs of the time, preacher, and I hear it everywhere I go, and I'm done. This is my second conclusion, but I'm done. We hear it every go, oh, I believe the Lord's coming back. No, we don't. Yes, I do. No, we don't. And I can prove it to you in one simple illustration. I got a wife and 7 youngins. 2 of them are grown, married out now. So we'll go down to 5 now. But brother, if you told me my house was on fire.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'd get them out. And if you told me it ain't on fire yet, but in the next few days, any day, boom, it's going to be gone, I ain't hesitating. I'm going to get them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen, boom, like that. And you say, it's going to be up and flying. Whoo, it's all going to be over. And there's going to be no more chances for them. Because, friend, if you read Sight, believe it, 2 Thessalonians, if you've heard the gospel, rejected the gospel, you say, well, when the rapture comes, I'll get saved. No, you won't. The Bible said God will send you strong delusion. You'll believe a lie that you'll be damned. That's what the Bible said. You read it. There will be people saved in the tribulation, but it will be those who have never heard the gospel. Because if we really believed our house was going to burst into flames in the next few days, it changed the way we're living. It would change our whole focus, our whole motivation. And so I ask us tonight, what is going to be the influence of our faith? I do believe we're in the last days. That's why I'm going to Utah. The Lord may come back. Well, if He does, I want Him to find me going the right direction. If the trumpet sounds, I saw a cloud the other day, and I had a dream last year. I hadn't told it here. Had a dream last year about the rapture. I never remember dreams, but I've never forgotten that one. I was standing in the yard somewhere, saw the cloud in the sky, and there was a rumble like a huge thunderbolt, but it wasn't no thunder. It wasn't like anything I'd ever heard in my life. And all of a sudden, I looked to see what it was, and all of a sudden, I felt different. I felt sort of weird, and my body did. I mean, it just sort of felt like, And I looked down. And my feet wasn't on the ground. I was going up. And I'm like, oh my. this is it. I mean, I was going up. And I shot straight up in bed. Like, whoa. I ain't forgot. I saw a cloud the other day, and I told my wife, I said, don't look at that cloud. She said, what? I said, it's reminding me. She said, reminding you of what? I said, my dream. Because it's going to be in an hour when you think not. Son of Man's going to come. But if we really believe that, don't you think it would change some of the things we do? Don't you think it would change the urgency with which we invite people to Christ? You say, what's missing? Same thing's always missing in my life and yours. It's faith. Because when we have faith, it'll change everything. Heavenly Father, we love you.